Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Halashon class learning with a much thanks and appreciation to our sponsors and hosts, Alyssa Axelrod and family. May the shchus of this shir that they sponsor bring much simcha, nachas, and good health to her, Alyssa, and her entire family. We are learning, as always, the Lui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel v'Chana, Alav HaShalom, and also the Lui Nishmas Zev Wolf ben Yishai, Alav HaShalom. May both Nishamos have Elios in the schos of the Torah that we will share this morning, and with Alyssa's gracious permission, it's for continued refuah for bracha avigaya bas racha gita. So I'll just begin with the tefillah al hadibur, and then we will get to our learning. Yibana sh'olam yiratzum v'fenech al racham v'chanin sh'tezekeni hayim v'chol yom l'shmor pi u'lishonim v'lashen haro rechilis v'azaham v'dabar afil al ish yachid v'kol sh'kein al klayiso o achelek mehem v'kol sh'kein misu'im amidosef shal kol sh'baruchu v'azaham v'dabar divrei sheker chanufa mechulkes ka'as gai v'onas tvarim habanas panim v'yitzonus v'chol divrei asr v'zakein sh'lo v'dabar kim davar hatzarich l'inani gufi v'nafshi v'yukol ma'asai v'dibrei l'shem shamayim amin. So something very interesting has been going on in the Shemir Salashim class over the past few classes. We only meet every other week, so it's been over the past few months. But the last few classes have been focused on Inyanim from the Parsha. And as we have journeyed through Sefer Bamidbar, Baloscha, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Balak, and now this week Pinchas Matos Masai, there are always consistently, there have been recurring lessons regarding Shmiras Halashon throughout the book of Bamidbar, Mamash Avri Parsha from Bahaloscha, as we have learned it. So this is something that I found absolutely fascinating. And you see that as we journey through the book of Bamidbar, if you go back on Ilkomayu Torah, the Ashir, and we did Baloscha was its own Shir, Mir Mashanar, we did Shlach Korach together, lessons in Shmiras Halashon, Shlach Korach, we did Chukas and the sin of Moshe, Balak, and now we're going to do Pinchas Matos Masai. So I was thinking of something very, very interesting, and that is that, someone's trying to call me, and I don't know why. Okay, I declined twice. My phone's not here, it comes up on my MacBook. And I was thinking to myself that if you go back and get a look on Vayu Torah, you'll see that all the past shiurim have been in Inyanei Shmiras Halashon, all based on the parashos mamash throughout the book of Bamidbar. So I was going to say this for the end, but I'm going to say it now and at the end. Bamidbar is also read as Bamidaber. Okay, we know in Lashon HaKodesh, no words are an accident. When Shorashim are connected, they have a lot of significance. And it's really compelling and very interesting that the book of Bamidbar from Baloscha all the way through the end, we have learned lessons in Inyanei Shmiras Halashon and about Koach HaDibur. Bamidbar, which means in the desert, also is Bamidaber with the Koach of speech. Man, as Salvechik says in medieval Hebrew, man is known as a midaber, as a speaker, because this is the koach that is given to man. And as we journey through the desert, we are also journeying through lessons of Shmir Salashon. So I'm going to begin with something that struck me so powerfully in Rashi. I was learning through the Parsha last week, and something struck me that I never really noticed before, which is really why you have to relearn your learning. And you should never say, I learned this already. Why am I learning it again? Chas v'sham. Like the Gemara says, you can't compare what you learned 100 times to what you learned 101 times, and no matter how many times you learned it, there's always something new that you can relearn. So I'm actually beginning at the end of Parshas Balak, and then we move into Parshas Pinchas. In our journey through Bamidbar, we have not done Parshas Pinchas yet, so today we'll have an insight from Parshas Pinchas. So let's begin at the end of Parshas Balak. So you know what I'm actually going to do? I'm going to screen share so you could see it as well with me, the psukim that I'm going to be quoting. Let me just call up on my screen here. Okay, could you see my screen? Paula, you're the only one I could see. Okay, so at the end of Parshas Balak, Bilam is not successful in cursing the Bnei Yisrael with his mouth, with his Kolach HaDibur. He only says brachos, but at the very end, he gives Balak advice, and that is if you put zonos, if you have the Bnei Yisrael engage in acts of promiscuity and immorality, with the woman, Hashem will be very angry. Subsequently, there was a plague, 24,000 from the tribe of Shimon fell. So let's see what happens. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, the Gemara says they began to do Maise Shtos. Israel dwelled in Shittim, and the nation began to do Znus with the daughters of Moab. V'tzikra'ena la'am l'zivchei Eloheim, and they called the non-Jewish women, called the men, the nation of Israel, to bring sacrifices to their gods, and they ate, and they bowed down to their gods, and Israel became attached to Baal Pa'ar, and God was very angry. So Hashem tells to Moshe, you know, put up all the sinners opposite the sun. Rashi says the clouds of glory would part and it would identify who was a sinner. The sun would shine on that person. So Moshe said to the judges of Israel, each one should kill those who are attached to Baal Pa'ar. Okay. V'hine ish mi b'nei Yisrael ba, and a man from the children of Israel came, v'yakriv el achav esa midyanis, and he brought to his brothers a midyanis woman, le'enei Moshe u'le'enei kladas b'nei Yisrael. He does this very publicly. V'heim in Pesach HaMoed, Moshe is crying and the leaders are crying and the halacha is hidden and he doesn't know what to do. And this man is publicly sinning with this midyanis. Keep in mind, they are not identified. We do not know the names of the man and the woman. Ayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, and Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen sees what's happening, and he gets up, and he takes a spear in his hand, and he goes after this Israelite man, and into the tent, and he spears both of them, Rashi's, in the exact place where they are connected and having relations. That's where he spears them, and the plague stops from upon the children of Israel. And how many died? 24,000 died. And that is exactly how this Pasuk Tes, is the end of last Pasuk in Parshas Balak, Parachav Hei. And now we begin Parshas Pinchas. So I know it was last week's Parsha, but again, we're journeying through Bamidbar and Mamash, Ramba Aloscha, learning lessons in every single Parsha. And now we come to Parshas Pinchas. So Parachav Hei, Pasuk Gid, is the beginning of Pinchas. And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he shives Hamasi, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, returned my wrath, took away my wrath upon the children of Israel, when he took vengeance for me amongst them. Therefore I did not annihilate the children of Israel with my kanah, says Hashem, because Pinchas stood up and he stopped the Mageva by killing the man and the woman. We still do not know the name of the man and the woman. Lachain Amor, and therefore you should say to him, he need no saying that was Brisisha. And Pinchas is rewarded with two rewards. One is that he is rewarded with the covenant of peace. Then it's even the Ha'emek Davar has a very powerful teaching. There's many different reasons why Pinchas was rewarded with peace, and how we understand the bracha of peace that he was given, the covenant of peace, I should say, not bracha of peace. But the Netziv teaches that when a person does a negative action, even if it's l'to'alas and for shem shamayim, it still has an effect on that person's neshama. So Pinchas did kill two people, and yes, it was the shem shamayim. But when a person, Rechman al-Tzlan, is forced to do such a terrible act, even for the sake of heaven, and God was very happy with what he did, it leaves a stain and a mark on a person's soul, and therefore God needed to assure him the covenant of peace to save him from the tarnishing of a negative action. And think about this during these 3 weeks when Alyssa is unable to join us this morning, but she says she looks forward to the recording. We've discussed it many times, and I think I mentioned it last class as well, that the Gemara says Beferish, and in the time of Bais Rishon, was there no sin as chinam in the time of Bais Rishon? Yes, there was. Elu b'nei Adam she'ochlin v'shosin zeh etzeh v'dokrin zeh etzeh b'charvot she'bilishonam. That's the lashon of the Gemara. In the time of Bais Rishon, it wasn't only Vodazar Gilo Arayis and Shvichus Damim. These were people who would eat and sit and drink with each other and stab each other with the swords of their tongue. Stab each other with the swords of our tongue. So when we stab someone, when we metaphysically kill someone with the sword of our tongue, it causes a stain on our soul. Never mind the damage you did to that person. It causes a stain on our own soul from doing that act of killing metaphysically to that person. So he gets the Bris Shalom, okay? And it'll be for him and his descendants after him. He also gets Bris Kuhunas Olam, because Rashi explains that once Aaron was inducted into the Kuhuna, it was only for him and his sons and the children who would be born. Children who were born before the induction into the Kuhuna were not made Kohanim, so here Pinchas is made a Kohen. Okay, the point of the where I'm trying to get is, oh, Pasuk Yudalot, the whole incident is over, the plague has stopped, Hashem's wrath was turned away, Pinchas is rewarded with a dual reward of Bris Shalom and Bris Kuhuna Shalom, and all of a sudden, P.S. V'shem Ish Yisrael Hamuka. Ah, I'm going to tell you the name. Asher Huka Esa Midyanis, Zimri Ben Salu, Nesi Beis Av Shumani. Let me tell you who it was. Zimri, wow, the prince of the tribe of the house of Shimon. It's over. This is a P.S. postscript. In case I forgot to tell you, you know who it is. It's Zimri. Ah, and who is he sleeping with? Excuse me. V'shem ha'isha ha'mukha midyan is Kazbi Batsur. Roshu Mosbeis Abimidyan. So she was a princess, and he was a prince, and they got together. The whole story is completely anonymous. It's not till mamish the end. Look, it's you see on my screen. It's mamish the end of the story, and we're told their names, so this is very strange. Well, it's almost like a postscript, and it's almost like not important information. You got the whole story. There's some anonymous Israelite man being in public, laying, setting a precedent with a Midianite princess, and Pinchas kills them, and he spears them, and Hashem rewards them. And P.S., I'm going to tell you who the names are. So, you know, this is why I say you always have to relearn. You should never hear a Dvar Torah and say, I heard this Dvar Torah again already. Why am I hearing it again? You should never read a Rashi and say, I read this Rashi. Why am I reading this Rashi again? Something very profound struck me when I was learning through the Parsha. This is Parsha's Pinchas last week. So I actually want to show it to you here on the screen as well, so you could learn the Rashi with me. And I think that this class has really sensitized me, not only to Inyanei Shemer Salashon, but just to seeing things in a different light. So what does Rashi say? So Rashi says, excuse me, where am I? Here we go. Rashi says, let me move you so you could see Rashi. Look at Rashi here. Okay, so it's Rashi to Perachav Hei Pasuk Adam and still in Precious Pinchas. Nisi base of Lishimoni. So why are we told who, finally, at the end of the story, the sinners were? Now he should know Zimri and he's sleeping with Kazbi. Why are you telling me? Now tell me in the beginning. Tell me in the beginning that a guy named Zimri got up and publicly sleeping with Kazbi, and I should know from the outset. So this is unbelievable. Rashi says, Lohodia Shivcho Shel Pinchas, to let you know the praise of Pinchas. Sha'afa Pisha Zehayan Nasi, even though this one, who was sinning, was a prince, and she was a princess, by the way, well, Mana Es Atzmo Medekane Lechil Hashem, he did not hold himself back from taking vengeance because of the Chil Hashem that was going on when this Israelite man is sleeping with this Midianite woman in public. Lakacho Diacha Kasav Mihu Hamuka. And that's the only reason why the Torah tells you who the slain was. So what do we learn from here? This mamish struck me as so profound. I was away last week and I was on the airplane. I was in the airport, I don't remember, and I'm learning through the parasha, and I just like mamish, like, you know, like the cartoon characters with the light bulb that go on and the caricatures over their head. That's what I felt like. I've read this Rashi many, many times. But what is Rashi coming to tell you here? That unless we learned a lesson, what lesson do we learn? A person has to stand up for Kiddush Hashem. And if a person sees a Chil Hashem going on, you should be brave like Pinchas. Don't be a kana like Pinchas, exactly. But you should be brave like Pinchas. You should be a giber for Kiddush Hashem. That's what we learn from here. And if not, if there wasn't a lesson to teach us about Chil Hashem putting a stop to it and making Kiddush Hashem, their names would not have been said at all. It goes so far to say, so Hashem's teaching us a lesson about Lashon Hara. If there's no point of what we learn for generations, it's the beginning of Maseches Megillah, I'm not sure exactly the daf. So what are we learning from here? That if there was no lesson for us to learn, the lesson for us to learn is that we can't be afraid to stand up for Kiddush Hashem, to do what's right, even in the face of a prince of Israel. But if there was nothing to learn, the Torah Mamash would not have put their names. That's what Rashi exactly says. Only for this reason. There's only one reason that the Torah told you their names. Not so you should go around talking about what Zimri did with Kazbi, because that would be plain Lashon Hara. If there was nothing to learn and nothing to apply to their lives, the Torah did not even feel it necessary to write their names. But since we can apply a lesson to ourselves, which is that for Kiddush Hashem, we must be strong, and against Chil Hashem, we must be even stronger. So therefore, the Torah includes names. So Hashem's mom is teaching us a very strong lesson. You don't throw around names. You see someone acting a certain way. If there's no toelus, if there's no purpose, Hashem's mom is teaching us. So why are you talking about it? Why are you posting it? Why are you blaring it online? Why are you forwarding in WhatsApp group? If it doesn't need to be said and there's no toelus in repeating it, something like this, it's so disgusting. It's so perverted. The Avodah Zarah Baal Pa'ar, Rashi told us in the end of Parshas Balak, it's going, according to the Gemara, you go to the bathroom, they would reveal their backside, and they would go to the bathroom in front of the Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara goes into detail about how they seduced the Israelite men, and it was a terrible thing. So you would think, such a person, I could talk about him. No. You only talk about his name because it teaches you about what Pinchas did. Pinchas' bravery, which is a reminder for us about how brave we all must be when it comes to stopping Chilul Hashem and making a Kiddush Hashem, and that's the only reason that Hashem spoke the Lashon Hara, I'm putting it in quotes, of telling you who the sinner was. Otherwise, you could have learned the same thing by anonymous story. You would never have known that Zimri goes down in the books as being the leader of this horrible act, only to teach us how we must behave. So this Rashi struck me as very, very compelling and very, very profound. I'm now quoting from, I'm going to stop the screen share for now. One second. Okay, I'm now quoting from the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the biography. I quote from it often in this class by Rabbi M. Yashar. It is an art school biography, but extremely comprehensive. Today, the art school biographies, which I enjoy very much, I'm currently reading Yonason Rosenblum's new biography on, it's called A Tap on the Shoulder, by Rabbi Meir Schuster, Zichron Alevracha. So I love the art school biographies, but today there's less words on each page and bigger letters. This volume of the Chofetz Chaim is much more comprehensive, 600 pages long and small print. It's also art school, highly recommend. Anyway, so I'm quoting from this book, okay? Once a student came to the Chofetz Chaim and he complained and he said, Rebbe, you always stress we should give sermons, we should give lectures to the people. I spoke for 2 hours at a stretch before a congregation of listeners and they filled the synagogue from wall to wall. I don't see that my words had any particular influence and it didn't cause them to improve. What is the point? The Chofetz Chaim replied, I am surprised at you, my student, for saying this. The Vilna Gaon cites a teaching in the name of the Medrash. For every moment that a man controls himself and keeps his mouth silent, for every moment, teaches the Vilna Gaon in the name of the Medrash, that a man controls himself and keeps his mouth silent, he will be privileged in the future to bask in the light which no angel or earthly being can conceive, meaning in the Olam HaEmes. The Chofetz Chaim concluded, this is all for 1 minute of silence. Imagine what will be the reward for preventing an entire congregation for 2 whole hours from saying anything negative. The value of this mitzvah cannot be measured. What more do you want? So imagine if you would, you know, walk by and see a Jew. God forbid Shmir Sinai, we should never see anyone doing such an action. But if you would see a person doing what Zimri and Cosby were doing, I would venture to say that we would have no problem going, you know, saying, do you know what such and such did? He must be a total Rasha, he must be a total Kofar to do such an action. And the Torah teaches you, think before you speak. 1 minute of silence, is it really necessary to say his name? And we only learn his name because it teaches us about Pinchas and Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. So the Chofetz Chaim said to his Talmid, you held the congregation quiet for 2 hours. So if it didn't have an effect on them, hour, imagine the zchus of those 2 hours of silence. Continuing, to reach perfection in any particular matter is a goal that only select individuals can hope to achieve. So, can we really achieve perfection? Only those with special gifts actually hope to attain perfection. Yet, it must be a goal and aim in life. We must strive and move towards perfection. Even if we can't reach it, you have to know where your compass is taking you. For every upright and serious person of integrity, the higher and nobler the goal, the higher and nobler your goal. I would like to reach the top of Mount Everest, even though I don't know if I'm actually going to get there, but at least that's where I'm trying to go. The more splendid and noble will be the acts that that goal evokes. In general, to strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. And that's a very important line. I'm going to repeat it. In general, I'm quoting from the Sefer the Chofetz Chaim, to strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. This is an extremely important teaching in all areas of Avodas Hashem. As Jews, we are not rewarded only for the end result. Okay? When a person does a job, you get a grade on the final product. You get paid for the final product. Heim amelim ve'anu amelim. Anu amelim ve'umekablim schar. Heim amelim ve'enu mekablim schar. What do you mean, enu mekablim schar? You get paid for a job. You get paid for the final product. The Ribbono Shel Olam pays us along the way for the effort we put into the product. And therefore, to strive and to attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. So even if I do not necessarily reach the goal of perfecting the path that I'm working on reaching, the avoda of holding back my mouth, the avoda of not saying what I just saw Zimri and Cosby doing publicly because there's no point. And if there's anyone I could speak Lashon Hara about, certainly I think it's about such a Rasha. No. The goal Having the goal in mind and striving and attempting to reach the goal is worthwhile in and of itself. So it's not in Yehadus, the means is to reach the end. The means is as important as the end in Yehadus. If you're striving, ki sarisa im Elokim v'anashim v'tuchal. The sarisa is what we're named after. We're not called v'tuchal. We should be called v'tuchal. You succeeded. We're called Yisrael after the sarisa, after the quarrel. Anu amelim u'mekabim mischar, because Rabban Shalom says, I pay you for trying. Sometimes you're going to fail. We're human beings. You put Yitzchak Kuttner's most famous, I think, letter on the Pachad Yitzchak to his Talmud, who was struggling. And Rav Kuttner famously says, you might lose the battle, but you win the war. We may not always be successful, but the fact that you're trying, that alone is tremendous in Avodah Hashem. The fact that you have a machshava, I'm not going to say this. It's just mamish happened to me. Literally, it just happened to me. When was it? Shabbos. I'm not giving any details at all. Someone told me, whether they should or they shouldn't have said, it's not the point. Someone told me something that someone said about me negative. I was very taken aback. I know everything's from Hashem, but okay, I'm still a human being. I felt a little insulted. I'm not supposed to, whatever. I'm a person. And I said, I'm not going to repeat. I wanted to discuss it with somebody. I said, I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to tell anybody. Hashem, please help me. So this should not be an Ein Hara. So if I have not discussed it with anyone, I don't plan to. Hashem should help me. I'm not saying it to give myself an Ein Hara. And I'm saying it because the struggle, that's precious to Hashem. Ki sarisa im elokim v'anashim v'tucha. So we should call v'tucha. We're not called v'tucha. We're called Yisrael. Teaches the Chafetz Chaim to strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. As the sages teach, a person should always say, "Matai magiu ma'asai l'ma'asei avosai." When will my deeds reach the deeds of my forefathers? This means our striving must always be greater than our attainment. So the goal has to be higher than the attainment. If you put the ceiling too low, so you're not striving to reach anything, it has to be, I could be perfect in Shemir Salashim. Then you really think, could I really be perfect in Shemir Salashim? No, I can't, but that should be your goal. And this is one of my favorite lines in the 600-page anthology. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. If you have the book, Rabbi M.M. Yashar, it's page 79. The fact that a human being is unable to be perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. The spirit's healing should not be different from that of the body. We want physical healing and we want spiritual healing. And we have to work on both aspects. We have to work on ourselves to make... Oh, that's exactly right. So that's in a different source that I think that I saw this morning. Chana Washerman, Adam L'Amal Yulad. It's from Eov. I saw it just this morning. Oh, and a sefer I'm not quoting from. Earlier this morning, I was reading through Sparkling Speech by Rabbi Alyosha Sandler, and he talks about that pasuk specifically in regard to Shemir Salashim, actually. Okay. Okay, I was going to skip, but I'm not. Okay. Continue. One of the main reasons a person may be indifferent to the need to guard his tongue against evil gossip is the thought that he interacts with so many people socially. He speaks with people. He deals with people. It's impossible for him to always weigh and measure every single word. So you might think, well, what's the point of even trying? You think I can measure every word that I say? I'm constantly dealing and talking with people. Additionally, people believe that to keep one's mouth under constant control demands endless effort, which is true, and strength. So a person lets his mouth run freely and irresponsibly with no thought at all. However, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, this is the meaning of the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai from Avos to Rabbi Nasan. Do not move far away from a quality that has no limit. I'm going to repeat it. Do not move far away from a quality that has no limit. If a quality has no limit, don't move far away from it. Said the Chafetz Chaim, when a person stands at the shore of the ocean and he sees the surf suddenly throwing up gems and precious stones, he might be too lazy to gather and run and get the treasures. Is that what he's going to say? Well, the wave is going to come, so I'm not going to bother getting anything. Will he be indifferent, or will he rush forward and collect whatever gems he can before the tide sweeps out? So most normal people will try and get whatever gems they can before the tide sweeps it out. So the human being must therefore, what's the lesson? Do whatever you can. It's true you might not get all the gems on the seashore, but at least try, at least strive. The human being must therefore learn to understand all the schemes and the strategies of the evil inclination. even if, quote, the learning process, which is really what we're doing here for, I think, 6 years already, even if this learning process will not help him 100% to repress Lashon Hara, it will have a large measure of good influence. So just learning in Yanei Shmiras Lashon and seeing all the parshiyos in Bamidbar through the lens of Lashon Hara and Shmiras Lashon and understanding how important it is and how much God values the work will give us the incentive to do more good work in this area. So that is on Parshas Pinchas. The end of Pinchas, and really the Rashi's in the beginning of the end of Balak and Rashi to the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. I was so struck by it that Hashem could not even have told us the names. It could have just been a man from Israel and a woman from Midian, and we would not have even known, only because it teaches us a lesson in regard to Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Hashem felt it necessary to say names. So it goes to show, you see a person doing a terrible sin, you shouldn't even have the free will, you shouldn't think you have the free will to go speak negatively about them and to repeat what you saw. Moving on to Parshas Matos. Hey, so Parshas Matos, before I move on to Parshas Matos, the next Nakuda that I want to point out is through our journey through Bamidbar, all the way from Baal Oscha, now to the concluding Parshas of Bamidbar, what we have seen is that the Tefillah Al Hadibur relates to a different Indian in this each Parsha. So today, the first thing we ask for is Ve'ezaher Milidaber Divrei Sheker. We ask not to speak words of Sheker. This too is Parshas Mesalasha, not to speak lies. You know, I try and not speak lies. So if the time is like, let's say I'm leaving someone a voicemail, and I don't know, it's 9:37. So I don't like to say it's 9:40. I don't like to say it's 9:30. But it's also probably strange to say it's 9:37 a.m. And this is Michelle Horowitz when you leave a message for, I don't know, the doctor's office. But I don't know. It's not 9:30 and it's not 9:40. So you could say that really they assume that a person rounds up when it comes to the time. A person has to be so sensitive to always make sure that they speak the truth. And the first dibur, aspect of dibur that we ask to be on guard from, Sheker, then Chanufa Mechokas Kas Gaido Nas Tvarim Habanas Panim. Oh, that's nice. Kol Ha Adam Kozev. Very nice. Very nice, Paula. So let's talk about Sheker a little. We didn't speak about that in our journey through Bamidbar and how we see that in the Parsha. So in Parshas Matos, which by the way is this week's Parsha, so it's really the obvious because Parshas Matos begins Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis Vayidaber Moshe al Roshei Hamatos of Bnei Yisrael. God's Moshe, I'm sorry, spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel saying this is the matter that Hashem commanded. And now we come up to the aspect of vows. So it's a complicated halachic Parsha on Perek way beyond on my scope, but one thing I want to point out to you. Ish ki yudor neder l'Hashem, when a man takes a vow to Hashem, he shava shavua, or he takes an oath, la'asor isur, to make something prohibited, al nafsho, so you say, I'm not saying this, okay? I don't really eat it so much, but I'm not saying I'm never, but I'm using an example. A person says, I'm never eating candy again. So now you just took an isur, you made an oath, and you took an isur upon yourself, lo yachel dvro, he shall not profane his word. Kechol hayotze mipiv ya'asa. Keywords, kechol hayotzi mipiv yasa, whatever comes out of a person's mouth, he has to do. So Rashi clarifies, and Rashi says, it doesn't mean you could prohibit, you could allow that which is prohibited. So a person can take a vow to say, I take a vow that I'm now going to eat pork every night for dinner. So Rashi clarifies, quoting Chazal, you can't say that. You could prohibit that which is permitted. So I could say, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, that's how it's brought down in the Art School biography, one of my favorite Art School biographies, he took a prohibition about himself not to eat taffy. Candy, he said, I'm not going to eat taffy anymore. He proved to himself that if he could take upon a small Kabbalah, he knew he could do a bigger Kabbalah. So I could say, I'm never going to eat candy again, even though I'm using that as an example. I'm not saying that. But I can say, I'm going to start eating pork every night. So Rashi clarifies, the halacha is you could prohibit that which is permitted, but you cannot permit that which is prohibited. But what does the pasuk say? Lo yachel dvar. Once again, we come back to the concept of profanation. Am I saying it right? Profanation, profanation. By zimmi and kosbi, why do you have to know who it is? Because of the idea that Pinchas was not afraid to be mekane for chil Hashem, to put a stop to chil Hashem. Once again, you see with the power of words, lo yachel dvar. Do not make a chil Hashem when it comes to your words. If you say you're going to do something, then you have to do something. Kechol hayotzi mipiv ya'asa. Whatever comes out of that person's mouth, he must do. So we have to be truthful people. Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch, that's all, used to say, a person must be an Adam Kashar, And an Adam Yashar, like kosher, you have to be kosher with God, and you have to be Yashar when it comes to interactions between Adam and Chavir. And we need to be honest people, we need to be people of integrity. And we need to make sure that what we say we're going to do, and what we don't say we don't do, and to keep our word. And it's also brought down here in the Torah, two beautiful vartlech on the absence of sheker in the Torah. The first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim ve'Eis HaAretz, has every nukuda, this Kname Ovar, Rav Lau Shlita brings it down in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. The first pasuk of the Chumash, Bereishis Perek Al Pasuk Av, has every one of the nekudos, the vowelizations, except for the shuruk, the u sound, the three dots, the shuruk. Listen again, bereishis bara Elokim eis hashamayim ve'eis haaretz. Why? Because if you scramble the letters of shuruk, it spells sheker, and there can be no semblance of sheker in the Torah. I also heard, I think it was from Rabbi Zevlev, I'm pretty sure it was from Rabbi Zevlev, but no, it wasn't. It was from Rabbi Suriel Militsky. I never heard this before, that the Avos and the Imahos, listen to their names, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, they have all the Nekudos except the Shuruk, because the Avos were Yasharim, Yashros, Yashar, the Avos lived a life of Titein Emes Yaakov. There was no sheker in their lives and in their existence. And therefore, once again, you see there's no nekuda, pun intended, no nekuda of sheker in their very personalities. And so they have all of the nekudos in their names, except once again for the shuruk. So I was thinking to myself, no wonder Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yashar. Not only is it's called Sefer Yashar because Avos were Yasharim. So you see, it's literally, they were Yashkarim and there is no shuruk in their names, to teach you that there is no sheker in their life. So what does the pasuk tell all of us? Lo yachal dvaro. You have to make sure that you do not make achil Hashem with your actions, like Zimri and Cosby and the tribe of Shimon and all those who are sinning. Lo yachal dvaro. You also have to make sure you don't make achil Hashem with your words. Kuchal hayotze mipiv yaseh. Everything that comes out of your mouth, you must do. So I'm going to quote from the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach, Harav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, Rav Agadon Adayin Bnei Brak, son-in-law of Rav Yosef Shem Al Yashav Zecher Tzadik V'Kolish of Racha, his first Rabbitson, Rabbitson Eliza, I believe, was a daughter of Rav Al Yashav. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, in his Aleinu L'Shabeach, comments on, okay? So the pasuk says, the pasuk that I'm talking about, which is Perek Lamed, pasuk Gimel, begins with the words, Ish ki yudor neder, when a man takes a vow to Hashem, or he takes an oath to prohibit upon himself something, like we said, Rav Nassim Tzvi said, I'm never going to eat candy, he cannot profane his words, everything that comes out of his mouth, he must do. So here, as we close the book of Bamidbar, we're learning of the Midah of MS when it comes to our speech. Okay, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein writes as follows, the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Nedarim asks why the Mishnah on Nedarim begins by discussing equivalent terms for oath. Like we know in Kol Nidre, Vesare, Vikinume, so there's all different terms for oath. There's all different terms for oaths in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara in Nedarim asks, and I didn't look up the Gemara, I'm quoting of Zilberstein, why the Mishnah in Nedarim begins by quoting all different terms and discussing the different terms for oaths. Why doesn't the Mishnah just begin by discussing the halachos of annulling or revoking oaths? Why do you need to know all the different terms? Why are we talking about that? Just tell me the halachos. We can suggest this teaches us, right, so of Zilberstein, the power of speech. For with words, a person is able to prohibit things upon himself as though they were Torah prohibitions. I once heard that a woman should not say, as a joke, I'm putting that in quotes, to her husband or to anyone else, she should not say, I am Anita, if she is not all the things I'm saying today, like candy, Anita says, I'm always using these as examples. A woman should not say that. She should not say as a joke, I'm Anita ever, if she's really not, because she has just taken a prohibition upon herself. Halachically, I'm not sure if that's accurate. Ask your local rabbi. I don't know why someone would say that anyway. But just the idea that through the power of words, a person can prohibit things upon himself, says Rav Zilberstein, as though they were Torah prohibitions. So by discussing all the terms we use for oath and vows, it's teaching you that the power of your words is equal to a Torah Isser. If you take something upon yourself as an oath, the power of words has just invoked almost something on the level of a Torah prohibition. We see from here, writes Rav Zilberstein, how careful a person has to be with his speech. For with a single word, It is possible to build or to destroy. Last point, the Mishnah on Nedarim opens by discussing terms for oaths and declarations to show us that even these utterances, which may not be actual oaths, have tremendous power, and they then take your words, take the halacha status of oaths. We know, continues Rav Zilberstein, in regard to lessons of Shmiras HaLashon based on this pasuk, idle chatter is prohibited. So really, we're not just supposed to sit around the chapa shmooze, which many of us, I'm not talking to you, we all just sit around with friends and we chapa shmooze, but idle chatter is prohibited. In fact, the Ramban writes in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yotas, Pasuk Beis on Kedoshim, Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the Ramban famously writes, I don't know if it's famous, but he talks about not to be novel b'shus HaTorah, but one example is he gives of speech, and he says, Lo sach Rabbi Chiya sicha b'teila lo'olam. Rabbi Chiya never sat around than just with idle chatter and prater. No, we know idle chatter is prohibited, says Rav Zilberstein. The Pasuk says, V'dibarta bum, you should speak about Torah, and you should not speak about idle chatter. However, there is another reason to refrain from idle chatter. As the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina, says, well, in the royal presence, well, what is in the royal presence? One needs to deprive himself of laughter, conversation, and sleep out of fear for the royal majesty. Which is interesting, because that's what Yaakov Avinu says when he woke up. He said, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have slept if I would have known that God was in this place. When a person is in the presence of the king, you have to deprive yourself, quoting from Masechet Sanhedrin, of laughter, conversation, and sleep. And Rashi on the Gemara explains the words, deprive themselves of conversation, meaning a person should not engage in idle chatter, so they should not be disgraced before the king. You know, think if you were, I don't know, in a meeting with, it's hard to say today, but I don't know if you would even want to be, but whatever, the President of the United States of America. We were in Florida last week. It was quite an experience. I plan to talk about Blinator later in the week in a different share, lessons learned from the presidential motorcade and everything that we witnessed. Let's say you were at a meeting with the president, okay? And you happened to be in the St. Regis last Thursday, like I was, and that's where Biden spent the day. And you were somehow invited to the meeting with the first responders, okay? Would you sit at the corner of the room and just talk whatever you want to the guy next to you? Of course not. You would not utter one extra word. If it wasn't for, the dignitaries in honor of the first responders, you're sitting in the presence of Malchus, so to speak, I don't mean literally, and you wouldn't utter an extra word. The earthly kingdom is similar to the heavenly kingdom, says Rav Zilberstein. We can learn from here. If we do not want to be disgraced before the Melech Malchei Malchim, we have to distance ourselves from idle chatter. The following, now he gives three different stories about how careful a person has to be with the power of words. I was once at a wedding, says Rav Zilberstein. This is Alein Lushabeach, Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Matos. I was once at a wedding that turned into a tragic affair when the mother of the chassan collapsed during the dancing and she was in Teres. The chassan was middle-aged. He had much suffering in his life. He had been married once and divorced. After he remarried, his second wife passed away. His mother would often say, I pray that I not leave this world until I see my son married a third time. She uttered these words as a hope and prayer. Hashem answered her prayer. She lived to see her son married a third time. Apparently, says Rav Zilberstein, quote, I'm quoting from the Sefer, this is an improper way to pray. So, I try and be very careful with the kids are leaving. If I'm going somewhere, they'll say, no, I won't see you again. And I always make an addendum. I won't see you again until after camp. I won't see you again until after the trip back from Florida. I won't see you again until after Shabbos. You have to be very careful. Oh, I just thought of something. Maybe in light of the Rav Zilberstein brings us these lessons, we might say, do not profane your own words. Whatever comes out of your mouth, be very careful. Hashem just might do. We know the power of words creates new worlds. Chaim says in his introduction, we just read it in Rav Zilberstein, the power of one word can build or destroy. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he, capital H, will do. The person needs to be so careful because we don't realize that with words, you create new entities and new realities. And we have to be so careful that Hashem brings those realities to fruition in a way that we want. That your oath might just take the effect of bringing a truism to this world and creating a new entity. So when we talk about Shmir Salashon and Yani Sheker, We have to be so careful to be usher and not to profane your word. And everything that comes out of your mouth, you have to do. If we say we're going to do something, we have to do it. And an added dimension that we're adding on is, I didn't think about during preparation, is be so careful. He, the Ribbono Shel Olam, might just do what you say. Another example continues with Zilberstein. A similar story happened in the city of Petach Tikva when it was founded. A young bacher was present when the city's founders were planning the local cemetery. Jokingly, the bacher said, "I don't mind being the first person in the settlement to die." He died that week. He was the first person buried in Petach Tikva. This story is actually inscribed on his tombstone. I'm sure people listening to the shir, whether you're on Zoom or Yom Torah, have the sefer. It's Aleinu Shabbeich of Zilberstein Bamidbar. You could look it up. I'm not making up a word. This story is actually inscribed. Ha, get it? Pun intended. I'm not making up a word. Topic of the shir was a joke. This story is actually inscribed on his tombstone. One more story. Rav Moshe David Reisner often expressed his desire to be together with his friends, Rav Yeshaya Blass and Rav David Tenenbaum, even after 120. So they decided to buy adjacent burial plots in their lifetimes. During the funeral of Rav Moshe David Reisner, his friend and neighbor, another person, Rabbi Arya Grandowitz, a noted Baal Chassid, deeply mourned Rav Moshe's death. And he exclaimed, "I can't go on. I miss you so much. I just can't go on." That very day, this Rabbi Arya Grandowitz was Nifter Rachman son in a car accident. In a booklet that was published in Rav Aryeh's memory, the family members relate that when they were looking to buy a burial plot for him, they discovered a plot had miraculously become available right near Rav Moshe David's grave, the one we said, "I can't live without you, I can't go on." And the two, indeed, true to his word, the two friends did not part ways even in death. So three examples of, excuse me, how careful we have to be to keep our word, to emulate the Avos and the Imahos, the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first pasuk of the Torah, not to speak Sheker. You know, I don't know. If it's 10:37, don't call up and say, it's 10:45. I don't know how that works halachically, but it's not really 10:45. We just have to be careful. And the second pshat is, lo yachal dvar kachal yotzi mi pivyasa. Be very, very careful. Whatever comes out of your mouth, God just might do. And we can't create new entities with our words if we do not want them to come true. And very, very interestingly, later in Parshas Matos, I see the time, to stop the clock, I didn't learn how to do yet, Parshas Matos, Mamish almost the exact same thing, so I want to go through the Pesukim more with you, but I don't have time. So Reuven and God, the B'nai Reuven and the B'nai God, come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, fascinating, you know, thanks very much. The pasulin's really nice. We're not crossing the yard in reverse. So Moshe is really upset. This is what your forefathers did. They turned the backs up. They turned God's back on the people. And he became so angry at them. And they slept through the desert for 40 years. How could you do this? Anyway, they make a deal. What's the deal? They'll leave their children and their wives and their flocks on Everly Yardin on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They will go armed before the Pnei Yisrael on the help with Kibush Haaretz. And they come to a compromise. So it's a fascinating exchange and parak, but for purposes of today's shir, so what does Moshe say to them? Benu lachem arim, build for yourself cities. For your reference, it's Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk of David. Benu lachem arim, build for yourself cities. Letapchem, for your children. Ugderos letzonacham, and build for yourself enclosures, fences, for your animals. V'hayotzei mipichem ta'asu. Moshe's not going to be alive anymore. Moshe's going to die. His days are numbered. Next week we're in Parshas Devar. I'm 40 days left. He knows he's not going to be there. And what does he say? We made a deal. And you promised me. And we made an oath. That you get Eivor LeYarden only if you go up Chalutzim Lefnei Achechem to fight the battle. What does he say to them? What signs the deal? V'hayotzei mipichem ta'asu. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you must be a person of integrity. What comes out of your mouth, you must do and you must keep your word. And I couldn't get over when I was preparing Shir. It really struck me yesterday, actually. Bamidbar is Bamidaber. It's with the power of speech that a person is defined. Like the Rav says that in, what's Sefer am I looking for? That in medieval Hebrew, a person, a Jew, is known as a human being, is known as a Midaber. And we've journeyed together. If you missed the previous Shir, you may just join today because of the legal holiday. They're on YU Torah. From Baloscha, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Pinchas, Balak, Pinchas, Matos, I didn't do Masai, we're also out of time, if more prepared, you see how the theme of lessons in Shmiras HaLashon runs through the entire book of Bamidbar. and it's a lesson for us. And I was trying to think why. Because there has to be a reason that Bamidbar in the desert and Bamidaber is the same word. I'm not making it up. It's clearly the same word. I don't know, because I didn't see this brought down anywhere. And if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to reach out to me. But I was thinking that when a person's in a desert, they're all alone and there's no one to hear them speak. I'm not talking about building a settlement, an oasis, a watering hole. Okay, a mamish a desert. And you're walking in the desert. There's really no one there to hear you speak. There's nowhere to buy you a water bottle, so Rabbi Akiva has to tell you whose life comes first. There's nothing in the desert. So when you speak in the desert, there's no one to hear you. I think perhaps the lesson could be, I'm not sure, but why Shmir Salashim plays such a large part in so many facets. Leitzanos, Korach, Sheker, Yotzim Pivyase, Rechilos, Lashon Hara. We learned about Chafsid de Kedusha from Rav Schwab in regard to the sin of the spice. You have to think when you're speaking, are these words worth saying? Is there anyone to hear them proverbially? Yes, we don't live in the desert. So if we did, we probably wouldn't survive very long. So there are people around us all the time. But Amidabra should make himself as if he is Bamidbar. And he should think to himself, is this worth saying? You know, I could really go tell people a really juicy piece of gossip about what Zimri and Cosby were doing. But the Torah says, no. You know what, says God on second thought, Chalil v'chas, I'm only telling you their names because there's something to learn about Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. I need to think to yourself, if I was in the desert, would there be anyone to hear me? No, so I wouldn't say it because there was no one to hear me. So the Medaber must make himself as if he was in the desert and consider before you speak, is this worth saying? If I was alone, would I say it if there was no one to hear me? And it has even more important ramifications before we post. Plus, sometimes today, we might be alone in your home, in your office, on a fast walk, I don't know, in a library. You could be alone. But Midbar, proverbially. But with your phone, you're never alone. So it's so easy to just take those words. Be a Midaber. I really, nobody should hear what I have to say. And really, nobody should be posting those things. And really, nobody should be spreading those lies or those slanders or those insults or the leitzanos or the mockery or the sheker, the chanufa, or the machlokas. So today, even when we're alone, as if you're in Bamidbar, the danger of being a midaber when it's not appropriate is ever present. The Yetzer Hara is worse than it ever was. Oh, I have to finish. Listening to Shira Simran, Rabbi Zev Lef, and he said that galos is so difficult because the sheen is hidden. He said, I shudder to think who I would be if I was a child growing up today. And we have to think to ourselves, make yourself like you are Bamidbar. Because if there was no one here, I wouldn't waste my words. Should I be a midaber in this situation, or is it better to hold back? A lot of food for thought, but perhaps this journey through Bamidbar has taught us there's a lot more to Bamidbar than meets the eye. Thank Alyssa Axelrod and her family very, very much. They should be zocha Torah and mitzvos, and to see their children come to chuppah, meisim tovim. Lilu nishmat Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Chana lavasham and Zev Wolf ben Yishai lavasham. I wish everybody a wonderful day of besuros tovos, and the koach to speak when we need to speak, and not to speak when we don't need to speak. Besuros tovos to all. Thank you so much. Kol tov.